Good morning, Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN. This is an opportunity to really go deep and to fully understand what a municipal animal shelter, in this case, Chicago Animal Care and Control, but it can be any municipal shelter wherever you live, really works. Armando Tarjedo is the Executive Administrative Assistant and the Public Information Officer. Armando, good morning. And how long have you been at Chicago Animal Care and Control?
Good morning, Steve. I have been at Chicago Animal Care and Control for 12 years now.
And certainly for employees that work there, volunteers that work there, after all, they're volunteering. They wouldn't be there if they didn't want to be. And even for the employees, what I find, I mean, you've been there for all these years. You could be doing other things, but no, other things in city government or just other things. But that's not your choice. Do you think that's similar for at least most of the people that happen to work at Chicago Animal Care and Control? Because I do think, well, we'll get to why I'm asking this question in a moment, but there's a reason for it.
Absolutely. I think, especially when it comes to our staff, who they are city workers, most of them are union, they have the opportunity where they can move to a different department where there's a lot more, a lot less stress, basically. I don't want to say that there's easier jobs out there, but there's jobs where they're not basically facing the dilemmas and the crises that Animal Care and Control faces. There's, I think, plenty of opportunities, but we got a good core of people that choose to stay here, that choose to keep coming back every single day. I think our main thing is here, when we have those wins, we hold on to those wins, we celebrate, and then we just start over the next day. And our volunteers, they're in a whole separate category. The fact that these people take time away from their own families to come here and try to form new families for our pets, day after day. I mean, we always talk about postmen, we have rain or shine delivering mail. Our volunteers are here, not only rain or shine, but through heartbreak, through everything, they're here. And they always show up for us.
And that's another thing about animal control, and I testified about this at City Hall when there were budget cutbacks that Mayor Johnson was going to. And what one thing he simply forgot about, I believe, is that animal control needs you Christmas Day. They need you New Year's Day. They need you July 4th. I mean, the fact that it's a holiday is great if you're in another city department, but animals still need caring for, don't they?
Absolutely. And especially you touched on some of those holidays like July 4th and New Year's Day. Those are probably some of our biggest intake days just because people are celebrating. The door might be open a little bit too longer. We might have fireworks going on. So those are the days probably when we're the busiest. So, yes, we are here every single day. We have live cargo. These animals need to be fed. They need to be cleaned and they need interaction.
All right. Now, I want to talk about municipal animal shelters. And what the law, not only in Chicago, but most cities around the country, dictates that if someone comes to your door with a dog, a cat, an alligator, which has happened, right? Well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what kind of animal it is. And I'll tell you, Armando, the reason for that historically, all over the country is rabies control, really. So decades and decades, like 100 years ago, there were a lot of dogs roaming the streets. And the concern in the United States of America back then was one of the concerns was being bitten by a stray dog. And what's more, contracting rabies, because if it was an unknown dog, you didn't know. And rabies did occur over 100 years ago in America. It still does today. But not so much anymore in dogs. And there's a reason for that. We've gotten dogs off the street. And that's why this law that you must take in any animal exists in the first place and why animal control facilities were set up in all first major cities, but then just about any mid-sized city all over the country. Now, at the same time, more and more our companion animals, it's called that now, have become our companions. They're members of the family. But still, they are often relinquished for any number of reasons. And we'll talk about what some of those reasons are. What do you think, though, the biggest misunderstanding is the miscommunication between the general public and an animal control facility, a government municipally run facility for animals in any city.
I think one of the biggest misconceptions is people think we have endless space, that we have this giant warehouse that if you are, say, it's summertime and you don't want to walk your dog, you want to hang out at the beach, just take it to animal control. They'll find a home for it. Or when the weather starts getting colder, I don't want to walk my dog, it's going to start being colder, I'll just take it to animal control. They'll find a home for it. When in reality, it's extremely hard to place animals right now. We're seeing an average of 42 animals a day coming into the shelter. We don't have a limitless space here. And even when we have adoption events, you know, we promote these adoption events. Our aldermen help us. People like you help us promote these adoption events. And unfortunately, during adoption events, that's when we see some of the biggest intake lines. I think people that were on the fence about, oh, do I still want to have my pet around? Oh, they're having an adoption event. Let me donate my animal to animal control so they have more animals to show. So I think that's the biggest misconception, that people think we have unlimited space here for animals. And it's not just cats and dogs. Like you said, you touched on alligators. I've had, I think, two monkeys come in the past few years here, too. So we literally get everything here. And as long as it's in the city of Chicago, we have to take it in.
Right. Now, of course, you don't adopt out those monkeys to the general public. I don't know where they go. I don't know, because zoos sometimes don't want them necessarily. But they don't go back to the public. But dogs and cats, guinea pigs, rabbits, they all do. So I want to talk about, though, why people most commonly, in your experience over the past year or so, give up their animals. And we'll begin talking about that. It's a big discussion here. So I think that there's a misconception about that as well. So what do you find the most common reasons are?
Oh, the biggest reason that we've been seeing lately is, and we're tracking that data now too, is the economy. So people just, everything is too expensive now. And it's true. Vet care's gone up in price. The price of pet food has gone up in price. I mean, just, I think for me myself, just month to month, I went to get a new bag of dog food and it went up like $12 just for a bag. And I have a small dog, so I just can't imagine people like with the bigger dogs, they eat a lot more food. Like that counts. It just accumulates. But that's been our biggest reason is the economy, basically.
Yeah, and during the pandemic, the good news is people went out and facilities such as yours and all over the world really said, help! And people did adopt animals. So there are now more multi-pet homes than ever before. But that means it's even more expensive. Do you find that sometimes people are keeping a dog or two but giving up one or two because they just can't afford multi-pets?
Yeah, you know, so I've been here 12 years now, and I used to have the most random stuff, right? We got a new puppy, here's the older dog. And, you know, it's heartbreaking, and we would talk to people, like, that's not the thing to do. But now it's, like, different reasons that they're bringing in one. They're like, versus getting a new puppy, like, no, I've had both of these dogs for 6 years. It's too expensive. Here, hopefully you could find her a home. We're going to stick with him just because I know he wouldn't do good in another home or he's too bonded to us kind of thing. So it's not so much that they're getting new pets to replace these pets. It's that they can't afford to keep the pets they have right now.
Yeah, yeah. Armando Tarjedo is the Executive Administrative Assistant and Public Information Officer at Chicago Animal Care and Control. And we'll be right back on WGN. He's the Jedi of Chicago Animal Care and Control, Armando Tarjeda, Executive Administrative Assistant, Public Information Officer. I think there's a misconception that a pet that is relinquished to Animal Care and Control, or any animal shelter for that matter, is damaged goods. Talk about that.
So that is another heartbreaking issue, too. We try really hard to get out of the image of, oh, it's the city pound, they're the dog catchers, they're chasing animals with nets. We're also a place full of great animals for adoption. We host monthly fee-waived adoption events, but we have so many dogs here, and it's literally all shapes and sizes. I know a lot of people come, they only find certain types of dogs, but everything that comes here, we get a variety of. Just yesterday, I saw like four different breeds just in line here.
Wow.
Thankfully, we work with a lot of rescue groups and adopters. If it's something like a small dog obviously does leave faster than anything, but we literally get everything here as far as companion animals.
All right, so I want to talk about that a little bit. So when the dog or cat comes in, if you find that it's a, or think that, oh my God, that's a, name a breed, it doesn't matter, a Weimaraner, a Collie,
yeah.
a Poodle, or whatever, and a Schnauzer, and it's a purebred dog, then the good news is today there is a rescue organization, maybe one not too far from Chicago, or in Chicago, that handles that breed. So I assume you contact them. You also have partners, and I want to talk about this because 10 years, 15 years ago, none of this was true. You have partners that exist in all different ways. The other animal shelters in Chicago, if they're not filled up, and most of them will work with you, I believe. In addition to that, there are rescue organizations, as they're called, all over that also take animals, dogs and cats, from Animal Care and Control, which I think is a saving grace, if you will, and foster families. So I want to talk about all that, Armando.
Absolutely. We have a great network of just rescue partners in general, but we also have other shelters that help us out too. Being the only municipal shelter in the city of Chicago, we do see a huge influx of animals coming here, everything from owner surrenders to strays. And on the occasion that we have rescue partners that are a little bit outside the city, some are even in the city, that don't have as big of a population, they heed the call, and they're here right with us, just picking animals out, trying to take them, and just giving them an advantage, a step, just to see maybe if we take them into our shelter, they'll stand out a little bit more versus being here at Chicago Animal Care and Control, where they're seeing so many animals come in daily.
And talk about foster families and what that opportunity might mean for some of you who are listening.
Yes, so we don't have our own foster program here, but almost all of our rescue partners do, and fostering is such an amazing tool. I always tell people, even if you can have maybe a two-week commitment to an animal, do it. Foster the animal, because that rescue that you're fostering through, they can take an animal from us, put it in your home for 2 weeks, but then that opens up a cage for us to help another animal in need, but also that rescue as well. Now they can pull another animal, and I mean, I think fostering is the only time where if you're a foster failure, we actually celebrate that because now the animal found a home.
Yeah.
But other than that, like fostering, it's such a great thing.
All right, so I want to talk about some of the more controversial issues, if you will, and one of them is that people will say, for whatever reason, whether I define that as a good reason or a bad reason, I'm going to give up my dog or cat. And then they call around to this shelter, to that shelter. I'm not going to say names. And those places, often because they're filled, can say, no, we're not going to take that. There is only one other, as it's called, open admission, and you can explain what that means. We've already talked about it in a sense. Facility that's anti-cruelty. Thank goodness there is another one. Otherwise, you'd really be overwhelmed. But you're overwhelmed as it is because those other facilities, right, wrong, or otherwise, and I understand it, they can't, in many cases, take in an animal. So that directs everyone or most everyone to one of two doors, anti-cruelty or you. And Chicago is a big place, right?
Absolutely. Chicago is huge. We always talk about, you know, the small city. It's a big city. I can start over. It's true. Anti-cruelty takes in animals for us. Sometimes anti-cruelty also gets inundated with animals, too, because they assume, like, oh, I'm just going to take this dog here. They'll take care of it. So sometimes even they reach out to us, like, hey, we're doing as much as we can here, but we are full and people are still bringing animals to us. So it's a back and forth. Not only does anti-cruelty take animals from us, on occasion we take it from them, too, because we're both trying to help each other out. And also animals, at the end of the day, are what matters, especially when it comes to these companion animals.
Absolutely true. But no facility, if they have no space, I understand they can't take, and you have to take because it's the law for you to do it. But what if, Armando, you also have no space? And then what happens is you are criticized for people not adopting, essentially, because then if you're totally out of space, you're totally out of options, all of your other partners are filled as well, then what do? You oftentimes, let's talk about it, you will euthanize an animal. And that is unfortunate. It shouldn't be that way. But I want you to talk about it from your perspective, because when you do, you're criticized for it.
Absolutely. So euthanasia is a reality here at Chicago Animal Care and Control, unfortunately. And when it comes to space and limitations on space, that is 100% a contributing factor to euthanasia decisions. So we just the other day, I think overnight, had 17 big dogs come in overnight by CPD. So when we leave the shelter, there's usually about 7 to 8 cages just for anything that comes in overnight, because CPD does have 24 access to the facility. So when we run into a situation where 17 animals came in, first thing in the morning, we're seeing where do we have space, where can we move these animals to? And then, unfortunately, euthanasia is also a factor that comes into play. So we look at animals that, unfortunately, if it wasn't a space issue, could probably still be here today. But we look at animals that are maybe deteriorating, and animals that have been here, say, 2 months or whatever time frame it is, they're not doing good here at the shelter. Where normally, if we had space, we'd be able to probably work with that animal more, see what's going on with it. When space is a factor like that, that is basically off the table, and unfortunately, that animal is no longer here. And we have to make space just because it is in our ordinance to, we can't turn animals away. And when we open for intakes at 3 p.m., there's already a line that starts at 2 p.m. of animals that need to come in.
Right. And part of the answer to that is giving people who are in that line to give up their animal other options so they don't need to do that. And I want to talk about what Animal Care and Control is doing about that, and we will when we come back on WGN.
I have a very special announcement to make. Are you ready? The announcement is, I have another book coming out. It's called Ask the Dog. It's a kid's book, and it will be out late summer, early fall, sometime around there.
And it's all about minimizing the number of dog bites, communicating with dogs, and understanding, more importantly, what they're communicating to us, whether they want to be petted at that moment. And sometimes it's very clear. Anyone would understand, don't pet that dog. But for the most part, their communication, well, from dog to dog, it's very clear. To us, we don't get what they're saying necessarily. So this book will help kids understand better, my hope is, what dogs are saying to us, and they're always saying something to us. I will talk more about this as we get closer to that date. From Chicago Animal Care and Control, Armando Tarjeda is the Executive Administrative Assistant and Public Information Officer. You were talking about how literally, there are a line of people on many days waiting at the door to give up their pet. And boy, oh boy, you're at the top of another line. I wish it didn't have to be that way, I'm sure. But it is. People give up their animals for all kinds of reasons, or at least are thinking about doing so. And sometimes it's called diversion programs. Chicago was one of the first cities to have, as far as I know, such a program. Can you explain what these programs are? I know that PAWS Chicago is set up at Animal Care and Control, and you guys, through Friends of Chicago Animal Care and Control, do the same thing. Explain what I'm talking about.
Yes, so diversion is basically having conversations with people, talking to them more about what's the reason they're bringing their animals in when it comes to owner surrenders. And by having those conversations, we're just learning a little bit more about what might be a temporary barrier, where someone might think this is my only option is to bring my animal here at Animal Control. It may be something like they're between paychecks right now and they have to choose between feeding themselves or their pet. So I'm going to bring my animal to Animal Control just because that's the only option I have. We are doing diversion here now where we have donated food in a trailer that Friends of Animal Care and Control graciously supplied for us, where we can say, what if we give you a bag of food to get you over to the next 2 weeks? Would that help you keep your pet? Most of the time, it's so nice. The answer is yes, Absolutely. They're so grateful. They didn't even know that was a thing that we offered. Paws also has their diversion program, too, where just different reasons people are bringing their animals in. Maybe they need help with a behavior thing. Maybe they need help with, I can't even think of stuff right now, like food also, too, just setting them up with long-term stuff for their pets. Paws is happy to step in with that, too.
And veterinary care is increasingly another one because of the cost of vet care. And there is some low-cost vet care available around the city. And Paw Chicago may say, inside animal control with their diversion program, here are the names of a couple veterinarians who may be able to help you out, that kind of thing. And that is incredibly important because what I find and what the data suggests, forget about what Steve Dale finds, it's what the data, national data suggests, is that most people most of the time actually don't want to give up their pet. Do you agree with that?
When it comes to owner surrenders, absolutely. There's times where the whole family comes. They come with their kids. It's both parents. And everybody's almost like in tears that they're bringing their pet here. So for them to reach that decision, it's obviously a very hard choice for them to reach. But it's just letting them know that there are resources. There are options out there to keep your family together, especially if the animal's loved, if the animal can be taken care of and it's just a temporary barrier. Let's help you get past that barrier and keep you guys together.
I go back enough years where I truly do remember the mayor of the city of Chicago, several of them saying to whoever at that time was in charge of animal control, just keep us out of the newspapers. We don't want any bad news. And don't talk to the press about anything, and especially not about euthanasia. And it's very different now. You have made an effort to be transparent. So I want to talk about the culture that the public perceives in part because of the previous administration, some going back many years. But I remember saying, well, first of all, is what I just said true? And second, has that created in itself sort of this, I don't know if I trust them because I know what they were saying or not saying, better put, before. Do you follow what I'm asking?
Absolutely, and I agree with you. So in the 12 years I've been here, initially when I started, I wasn't in this role. I was an animal care aide working in the shelter, and it was always a stigma. And it still is a stigma anytime you talk about euthanasia. We only promote adoptions, that kind of thing. I think we've slowly evolved just to, our data is already on the website. Our numbers are there. What's the hurt in continuing this conversation and being more transparent about it? And since I've been in this role, I'm grateful that they've given me that platform to actually talk about euthanasia. And it's a hard conversation to have. So it's not one that I celebrate, but I am thankful that I can talk about things like this. And there's no, there's no like pushback or anything like that. Like, why did you touch on euthanasia? It's a reality. The more that we're transparent, the more that we talk about things like this, the more awareness goes out. If there were times in the past where we were at capacity and the shelter made hard decisions, and when we started putting doing like a call on Facebook, for example, or doing a press release, like, we're at capacity. If you've ever thought about adopting an animal, now is the time. The feedback from that was amazing. Like, the community stepped up. It's like they've always heard like little bits and pieces like, oh, animal control does adoptions, but they also euthanize. But when we actually reached out to our community and told them the reality of what we were facing, I think our adoptions have been going up since then. Our adoptions, even though we're getting an influx of animals, when you look at our data, our transfers are up, our adoptions are up. It's just keeping up to track with everything that's coming in. But I'm so grateful that we get to have these conversations. It's not a happy conversation, but it's a conversation that needs to happen just to build that public trust back.
So Chicago Animal Care and Control is one of the least funded per population municipal facilities in America. That's just a fact. And again, something I've testified actually more than once about at Chicago City Hall. Given the resources you have compared to some other cities, that's one issue that people don't at all at times who criticize you understand. When you are criticized, and these days in social media you are, do you sometimes think it's interesting because it is such an emotional issue? You talked about people when they come in, they literally are in tears giving up their animals. But then you have another group of people on the sidelines who comment, and many of them comment, and they've never even been to the facility.
Absolutely. One of the biggest, pushbacks that we get is, why aren't you doing more? Why aren't you doing, like, and it's programs that I would love to do. Like, why aren't you doing citywide spay-neuter programs? Why aren't you doing, reaching out, why aren't you holding more adoption events in, like, bigger places outside the city and things like that? And it does come down to funding. We have to be lean in what we can do here. We have to be very innovative, is the word I like to use, in how we promote animals, how we do our programming for the year, and even our vaccine clinics. We do free pet microchip and vaccine clinics throughout the year just to make sure animals are vaccinated, making sure that they can go home if they end up here through their microchip. Just imagine if we had the funding and we were able to do, like, citywide spay-neuter programs, that would help so much in Chicago as a whole.
Indeed it would. I want to come back and talk about what those, today with animal shelters, it is all about numbers, so I want to talk about what your numbers are, and also talk about what the Friends of Chicago Animal Care and Control does, and what this organization is all about, and we will do that with the man who knows all about it when we come back on WGN. Armando Tarjeda is very important. He is, what did you call, what do they call you, the Jedi?
So I've had my last name, my last name is Tejeda, and I've had a few people pronounce it as Jedi, which I loved.
So he's the Jedi of animal control. The executive administrative assistant, public information officer as well. So what are the numbers, the number of animals that actually, the percent that actually get in one way or another transferred to another facility, or they're adopted, but they make it out alive in a good way? What is your percent?
So right now at Chicago Animal Care and Control, year to date, we're at a 86% live outcome.
All right. Outcome, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I want to make a point here. I believe the no-kill number is 90%. That is looked at. So you're considered no kill, quote unquote, if you reach that number. I argue 86%. Listen, we all want it to be 100%, right? You know, of course. But that's probably not realistic. Animals are euthanized sometimes because they're so sick. That's actually the best option for the animal, or behavior problems that just cannot be rectified. So that's some of that percent right there. 86%, we need to do better. But my gosh, if you were to talk, Armando, to some people on the street who don't know any better, they would say, oh, if you ask them, you know, you walk up to them with a microphone and say, how many animals do you think? And they would say the number that are live outcomes would be 20% or 30%. Again, 86%. We want to do better. Every animal counts. But that's not horrible by any means, is it?
It's not. And, you know, of course, we want it to be better. We look at all our data, right? What's coming in, owner surrenders, strays. And keep in mind, it's also confiscates, too. So we might have, like, animals that are part of a cruelty case or just hoarding situations. So we have a ton of animals that come from different backgrounds here that many of them are just adoptable, lovable pets that should find homes. It's just, you know, animal control facilities across the nation, we do kind of draw the short straw, though. We can't turn anything away. It would be nice if we were at certain points when we were full, we were able to close down and say, we're not taking animals for the next 2 weeks. We're going to focus on getting these animals in homes, and then we'll take animals in again like rescues can do. We can't do that. So it's just constant. We have to make sure that there is space available for any animals coming in, but we also have to follow the ordinance here.
One of the assist, if you will. So some time ago, it was Charlie Propsom. It was one person who said, you know what? The city isn't giving Animal Care and Control enough money in their budget. So we're going to create a separate private budget, and created Friends of Chicago Animal Care and Control. What does this nonprofit entity unto itself mean to Chicago Animal Care and Control, the municipal facility?
I mean, can I just say everything? Friends of Animal Care and Control, Charlie, they are, I mean, they're icons in the animal world. I think they need to be recognized more. You know, what they do for animal control, it's not just that they help raise awareness, that they provide funds in gaps that we have right now, but it's also little things. Like when our washer broke down, I want to say about a year or so ago, normally for us to replace a piece of equipment, it goes to the city. They have to place bids, and then that's how we get someone in to either come to repair or get a new piece of equipment in here. We have someone like Charlie who steps up and she's like, I'll get you a washer dryer. You don't have to wait 3 months for a washer dryer to come into the facility. So it's little things like that that people might not even consider, but that just helps us. We just have one giant washer here. So when that thing went down, it's like we were struggling. Like, we need blankets. We have no way to, like, basically clean blankets for dogs and cats. That's just one example, but they also do programming like with our after-hours care program, where when the animal shelter is closed, when there's no vets here, at night, and if CPD picks up an animal that's severely injured, say knock on wood, hit by a car or something like that, they can go to see a vet overnight, and then we pick them up in the morning thanks to Friends of Chicago Animal Care and Control. So now that animal isn't suffering, that animal is stabilized, if it can be, and then we pick it up in the morning. But there's so much that they do, and that includes our diversion trailer. We wouldn't have anywhere to store this food that we get donated here to help keep families together if it wasn't for an organization like Friends of Chicago Animal Care and Control.
And I do these conversations with Chicago Animal Care and Control, and each and every time I receive email back saying, well, I didn't know they were there. I didn't know they even. So where are you, first of all? I mean, physically, where are you located?
Oh, I have a story. So we are in, we are 2741 Southwestern Avenue in Chicago. We are right off Blue Island and Western. And funny enough, I grew up probably less than a mile from the shelter, and I didn't know animal control was here till I was around 21.
Wow.
We used to drive past it. I just thought it was, you know, there's a YMCA across the street, there's a school, there's like a warehouse. I had no idea this was animal care and control, because we love our trees, but when those trees fill in too, it just looks like a warehouse and trees, and there's no huge sign. Like, we need a marquee outside, we always say, saying, like, this is come adopt. But we don't have that yet, and I don't know where we'll get it. But, yeah, I grew up in this neighborhood, and I had no idea this facility was here for over 20 years.
Yeah, and you're not alone. I guess you could have me stand outside with a sandwich board and saying, come this way, or something like that. We have about 2 minutes here. In that 2 minutes, Armando, what do you want to have people know, aside from they can adopt, they can come to Western Avenue and do it, about animal care and control?
I think the main focus I want people to take away is we need our community more than ever right now. If you've ever thought about adopting, fostering, now is the perfect opportunity. If you can't, something as easy as sharing our posts on social media go a long way. You never know who from your friend circle, your family circle, your work circle might be thinking about adopting, and you might be that bridge to help connect them to their new family member.
And another thing is that if you gave money through the city to Chicago Animal Care and Control, it might go to you, but it might also go to the sewer department. I mean, it could go anywhere into the city budget. However, if you gave to Friends of Chicago Animal Care and Control, if you are so inclined to do so, that would be an option as well, Armando.
Absolutely. So our adoption fee is very low. It's $65. And I think there's a misconception that $65 goes right back into our budget and we could spend that. That goes right into a general fund for the city of Chicago. So our budget is basically laid out for the year. So, I mean, obviously, we're grateful that the city is getting funded, but that doesn't come here. If you want your money to come directly to Animal Care and Control to help our animals here, our partners, friends we have a partnership with, they help us out tremendously. I can't say that enough. We're so grateful for people like Charlie, and I also hope she gets the recognition she deserves for everything she's doing for us.
No, I totally agree with that. FCACC.org, Friends Chicago Animal Care and Control, FCACC.org. That is their website. Armando, would you do me one favor before we go?
Absolutely.
I do believe that not only yourself, but your boss, Sue Capella, and anyone and everyone who works or volunteers at Chicago Animal Care and Control is underrecognized. So please extend my thanks to all the work that all of you do every single day. Thank you very much, Armando. Many people are lactose intolerant and may choose to have almond milk, for example, instead of the kind of milk that we grew up pouring on our cereal, right? Well, now there's a new kind of milk. It's a considered a superfood, in fact. Would you try this milk? Well, it's a nutrient-rich substance that can be gotten only from one place. Cockroaches. I'm telling you the truth. Cockroaches. Researchers from the Institute of Stem Cell Biology and Regenerative Medicine have discovered that one species of cockroach actually produces a milk that they feed to their young, and this milk happens to be really rich in nutrients and is great for human beings. The problem is getting this cockroach milk isn't so easy. It's not something you'd order with your latte, I don't believe. Would you try cockroach milk? I'm not sure I would. We'll talk to you next week, bright and early, on WGN.